Okay, so today I start the podcast off with those three words people love hearing me say. I was wrong. Damn, Nick, you could have did it. You could have been a contender. Just a man doing the best he can with what he got. And I ain't gonna hold you guys long. I actually got a segment coming up with my great friend, ALA, Art Party. If you need any art done, hit her up. She'll give you her info. But I want to let y'all know this podcast is a little late. I recorded it 2 weeks prior, right? So a lot of the stuff we're talking about is a little bit out of date. So keep that in context. This is like 2 weeks old. So I thought it was good to say that it seems like I was wrong on the Nikki Haley thing. It appears that we have a rematch between President Biden and former President Trump. And I am the first to tell you when I'm wrong. When I'm wrong, when I get it wrong, there it is. Mea culpa. I'm wrong. But let me say this. I still think there's room and potential for another candidate to take place. I really do. I know it looks weird, and for all intents and purposes, Super Tuesday is over now. You got your two candidates. I don't know what to say. I don't think that anybody is happy with the picks. Honestly, I think on both sides, everybody's kind of like, huh? And this goes to the downfall of me, what I should have been thinking about. I don't think I was wrong in my assumption. I just think I forgot to take in consideration that we as a collective in America are dumb as hell. Yep. We. I ain't saying you. I'm not saying me. I'm saying the royal we. We stupid, bro. Like, we do dumb stuff that makes no sense. Think about it. We elected a reality TV host to be the leader of the free world. And we thought that was a good ass idea. Like, what? Bruh, think about this. What legit CEO do you know that has time? I'm including Mark Cuban and all those Shark Tank guys too. Kevin Leary, all the people. What legit CEO got time to do a TV show? Dead ass. If you running a $1 billion company, dog, you don't got time to be on TV. And everybody knows as a CEO, the more visible you are, the more chance the stock value can go up and down, bro. It's a crapshoot. We saw a dude on TV like, yeah, that's the guy we need to give the keys to the house to. Here you go. Lead us into prosperity. Dead ass. A guy who had a video saying he touched women by the pussy before we elected him. Hey, look, all right, we elected him, we did a course correction, and we elected the guy who's been running for president forever. Like, Joe Biden been running for president for, I know, at least 20 to 40 years, bro. You gotta think he ran against Obama before that, though. Like, Joe Biden been in the game. We knew what we was getting. We knew dude was old. We just wanted a switch. Then we voted dude in, and now everybody's surprised he old. Like, dude was old as hell when we elected him. Dead ass. We dumb. And now we all complain about these two old ass dudes running for president when we put them there. I don't get this shit, bro. It is dumb. We stupid. We put these folks here in these positions of power and then look funny when they're in positions of power. Like, we didn't put them there. Oh my God, dog. This shit's so weird to me, man. It's a weird thing. But I say that to say this. The American electoral system is broken. It's flawed. I do truly believe the two-party system is bunk. It is BS. And I think that's part of the reason why our politics are so damn divisive. We don't have too many choices. So you really want to make traction, you got to be a Democrat or a Republican. I myself am an independent. And when I do get my career in politics, man, I decide which side I want to go on. Really, I want the flexibility to decide which side I want to go on. Because there's a lot of conservative ideas I agree with and disagree with. The same thing with the liberal side. A lot of liberal and progressive ideas I agree with and disagree with. I want the flexibility when I get into politics to pick a side. And I think most Americans are the same way. I think most Americans who don't fall into the gang culture of picking a Crip or a Blood, I'm sorry, a Democrat or a Republican, are open to voting for anybody. And that's who I would like to like cater to when I become a politician. But that being the case, I'm going to have two choices, man. Two choices for this election. Now, I do think a wild card is going to come. I don't think I'm completely wrong. I'm just throwing it out there, guys. I think there's still a chance for somebody else to come in and be the white knight. But you only got two choices. You got Trump. You got Biden. Who am I going to pick? And I do believe a no vote is a vote. And I think it's your right. I would dare not tell you who not to vote for or who to vote for. Not my place. That's your business. But myself, given the option between the old senile dude who can't walk, stumbling over, can't ride a bike, versus the convicted rapist who can't talk and says dumb racist shit, my choice is pretty clear now. Like, look what you're giving me to pick from now. I can't, in good conscience, endorse Trump unless he comes out with a strong reparation package, bro. Like, that'd probably be the only thing to get me to vote for Trump. Trump, like, you know what? I hate all the blacks, but we got this bill for y'all to get at least $250,000 each. I'm like, you know what? That's my guy. And for those of y'all who's saying, look, you ain't got no morals, no principle, that's my point. That's exactly my point. Like, there are no more morals and principles in this political sphere, in this area. I vote my interests because I feel like that's the safest way to do it. Like, we've proven time and time again that morality is a sliding scale when it comes to politics and the electorate. We all were pro something until we find out we're not. We all was pro women rights until we weren't. We was all pro being quote unquote politically correct until we weren't. Like, yo, it's a sliding scale, bro. It's a dead ass sliding scale. But once again, on the merits, on the points, I can't vote for Trump, dog. Like, unless he give me something super duper awesome, unless he change, it's going to be a lot of convincing to get me going that side, buddy. I tell you, though, because I done seen this guy's moves. I done seen this man get down. But I'm just here to say I was wrong, guys. I was wrong. It appears that I am wrong. I don't know, guys. The man's not going to be going to court. He's going to be left on the ballots in Colorado, which I ain't going to lie, I was always kind of iffy on that. I thought he should have been left on the ballots. But the move now is just to vote for who you like, guys. Pick your poison, pick your old dude, and roll with it. Have you ever thought, though, like, seriously, this is just me talking on the top of my head now, though. Did you ever think that this may be the the way we get the first woman president? Like, I'm not trying to be morbid. I'm not wishing ill will on Biden. I wish him 100 more years. But have you ever thought maybe the move is to get Biden elected, then do resign, and then Kamala Harris will be the first woman president? And this could happen on the Republican side too. If Trump just picked Nikki Haley as his running mate, because both of these guys are old guys, and I'm not trying to be ageist, but biology is a real thing. These guys could die in the office. Dead ass. That could be the way we get the first woman president. Like, Trump needs to make Nikki his running mate. Honestly, I think whoever Trump picked this time, it'll either be a minority or a woman. She's going to need that cachet and clout. Plus, they think black folks and women are so simple-minded to the point you just put out somebody. We're going to be like, oh, yeah, look at that. A woman. Black guy. Yeah. I'm going to vote for him now because, yeah, he gets it. Yeah. That gets rid of all systemic racism because I see Tim Scott. Yeah, he black. Yeah. Uh-huh. Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's a woman, right? Right? I don't know, baby. I don't know. Anyway, I was wrong, guys. Let's talk to ALA. talked to ALA, which, look, we had a long session and it kind of veered off back and forth. So I think I'm going to break it off into parts. But before I do part one of my talk with ALA, I just want to put something out here. So last week, I had a podcast about police corruption. And if you've been listening to my podcast, you will know that I said I'm going to get more involved with local politics because I live in the Memphis area. And I feel like you should definitely focus on where you live just as much as you focus on national politics. I think that's a flaw in a lot of Americans. We look at the national stage and think that's like affects us the most, but really your local government affects your life the most. True enough, your local government tends to take cues from the national government, but it's local government that you really need to focus on. You can't take the ball off that. So I did a podcast last week on police corruption in Memphis. Some information came to my door, was presented to me. I vetted the information, and I decided to put a podcast out about it. And let me just say this. I am a podcaster, not a journalist. There is a difference. What I do on this podcast is not journalism. And for my fan base of maybe, I ain't gonna even say fan base. I don't feel like you guys are fans. I don't. I feel like we damn near family. We close because it's a close-knit group. I only have like 1,000 listeners, right? I don't have Joe Rogan numbers. I don't have any of these major podcasts, you want to say numbers. I don't have their fan base. I kind of have an intimate setting. So the people I'm talking to right now, you know who I'm talking to, right? Because before I did this podcast, I sought counsel from some of my friends. Like, hey, man, what do you think about this? Like, what do you think the ramifications are? Some of them told me to lawyer up, which was damn good advice. And I did, right? In participation of backlash that I didn't think it was going to be that big, but just preparing for it. So I'm talking to like y'all. I feel like y'all know me. I am not a journalist, but I am trained in journalism. I've been in news multiple years, and I approach every story that I get from a journalistic background. I know how to vet sources. I know how to confirm information. I know slander and libel rules. Had wonderful teachers at the University of Tennessee at Martin. Once again, shout out White Rodney, Professor Maynard, Dr. Robinson. I'm saying that to say, I know the game, guys. I know how this goes. A lot of times when people put out information, they just haphazardly put it out. Not me. I vet my sources. So the information I got, I welcomed anybody to look into it. I sent it to major news organizations. Like, for those of y'all don't know who didn't listen to last week's podcast, there is a colonel in the Memphis Police Department who was involved with in a hit and run with an ATF vehicle. The vehicle he was in was stolen. And this video evidence of it. I attached the video evidence to the podcast so people can see what I was seeing, right? I welcomed any news station to vet it. Like, if you think I'm making this up, I'm slandering this man, look into it. Because anybody knows the defense against slander and libel is truth. I vetted the information, talked to multiple sources to find out this video was true. This video that stumbled upon my doorstep was 110% true. To the point I felt comfortable like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say this, man. It needs to be said. Now, the funny thing about this, right? When you're doing a podcast about corruption and you're vetting your sources, you hear a lot of stuff. But if it's not vetted or corroborated or you feel iffy about it, it's best not to say anything. So if you listen to that podcast, I gave you the facts. Now, what I also did was intimate and leave you some breadcrumbs. I tried to lead you to what possibly could be going on without implicating the man or saying this is what's going on. I say that to say a lot of the reaction to the podcast has been ranging from, oh, thank you for saying that, to, oh, I thought it was going to be something else major. And my reply to that was like, well, what else did y'all want? Like, what did you want to be concerned about corruption? The man signed out a vehicle that wasn't assigned to him, so he basically stole from the city of Memphis, taxpayer dollars, used his position for personal gain, but that wasn't enough for people because there was nothing salacious attached to it. I don't do clickbait. I don't do clickbaity titles. I'm going to tell you what it is. But you know what would have got me more clicks? If I would have been like, Memphis Colonel caught buzzing booty cheeks with another dude in stolen car. Like, if that would have happened, everybody would be like, yeah, oh, man, we got to look at this, man. Because it's a social mediaification of news, bro. Once again, the Common Knowledge Podcast is not going to be like doing deep dives into like police corruption because I don't have the resources, to be honest. I don't have the resources of a local news station, let alone anybody else. Like, my information has to come from outside sources. And once again, then I have to personally go vet those sources. But if it's not salacious, if it doesn't have anything to do with like sex or gunshots, people are like, well, nope. Give us some entertainment, Marcus. Yes, you're right. What he did was corrupt, but hi, I don't care unless there's something violent or sexual attached to it. It's almost like I gotta spoon feed people everything and come out and be like, well, this is what's happening, instead of intimating it. So what I did was I dead ass gave you enough breadcrumbs to make your own conclusion. I gave you the facts. This is what happened. And then I did some intimation. I did the good old Rush Limbaugh. You know how Rush Limbaugh used to do it back in the day? Like, is Hillary Clinton a stupid whore bitch? I don't know. I'm just asking the question. That's what I did. Like, I did. I just asked the question. Like, is it possible that dude was doing other stuff? I'm not saying he is or isn't, but maybe it should be looked into because this may show a pattern, right? I can't just come out and say stuff. Well, I won't. I can, but I won't. Unless I got it fully vetted, I would not come out here and say anything. Dead ass. That's how I roll. But it's so damn funny because I feel like people ain't got no goddamn principles, dog. Like, I'll make this connection to the evangelical base in America right now who always preach morality and told all the candidates they had to be morally upright to get the endorsement. And then you got Trump come along who said he raped women and sexually assault them, and they backing him. No morals, no principles, dude. We claim to be about upholding the law and standing on no police corruption. But it all depends what kind. We let stuff slide in government, and that's why they're taking advantage of us. We have no principles, and people slide under the scale because you don't take things seriously. That's how I feel like. But you know who did take it serious? The city government, because I got a call from them folks asking me, yo, where did you hear this from? Where did you get this information from? And my reply was, I don't have to tell you that. Because once again, I know the game. I know how this works, guys. So my reply was, oh, this is information I got. Feel free to vet my sources and find out if it's true or not. Well, who told you? I'm not going to release my sources. I'm just not going to do it. And if that's a problem, come get me. Like, nobody said I was wrong in these city government calls. Nobody said that. It was just like, where did you get it from? Just the information. I gave you the evidence. I showed you the video. If you think that video is showing something different than what I'm saying, prove it. Dead ass, prove it. Get your squad, I get my squad, and we can meet up. Let me go call the ACLU and let's get it popping, dog. Like, dead ass. So I find it funny, man, that people was like, some people was like, yo, thank you, Marcus. I'm glad you're doing that. Some people was like, man, I thought you had something more. And I'm like, well, what more do you want? Like, I gave you the evidence, but that's okay. What I'm saying is to you, I'm going to stay vigilant and on top of this. And I would never present anything to you that I don't believe in or I don't think is true. That is my promise to my listener base. Yo, if I tell you something, I'm standing on it. And that's what it is. I'm standing on it. Whatever comes, comes with it. But I don't take these things lightly. Like I said, before I did that podcast, man, I went over every angle. Like, what could these folks do to me? I'm like, well, fuck it. Whatever happens, happens. And this time, man, it looks like I'm cool. But this ain't gonna be the last time some information falls in my lap. And I promise you, this won't be the last time that you hear me talk about corruption in Memphis. Because some people we need to clean out. Just put that out there, man. Let's talk to ALA, part one.
Here now? Okay. Damn, that was disorienting.
What happened?
Computer, I don't know. I don't know. Another thing popped up that said this is being recorded. Okay. I'm like, okay, click that. And then I could see myself. And then I'm like, oh, and then I think that was when, I don't know. Hi. It was probably a me issue. I'm sorry.
Nah, man. It's all right.
Hi. I'm the problem. It's me.
Oh, man. You know, you're a woman. It's always your problem. Society tell
you.
Yo. I didn't mean to come in hot, man, but I'm just like, there's a lot of women hate going on recently. I'm like, damn.
It's been a little rough out here in these streets. I'm not going to lie. NGL. Well,
I just don't even get it, though. Like, I don't even. Everything is women's fault.
Well, you know, we should just keep allowing the abuses that we've allowed over the years, even though we have more rights than we've had before.
So I was looking at this one podcast that my friend sent me, who shall remain nameless. Okay. But he was sending me that about this man. He sent a clip that he has daughters. This is a guy who's having a talk.
Okay.
And he said that he raised his daughters to be strong, but not independent. Because if they was independent, that means they'll never get married. And he was sending me that, and he has a daughter. And my reply to him, like, you dumb as fuck. I was like, you know, fuck. Like, you better teach your daughter to be independent, bro. I was like, you better not fall on this, buddy. like, buddy, let me tell you something.
But like, that's a testament to us socializing our girls and boys from early on. Like, we think that we're molding them into something that's going to help them find a partner, but we're a little bit more concerned about our daughters than our sons.
That's because. I keep saying this. I'm going to keep on saying it. Because women were property. Like, yo, women were people. Like, it's there. It's like, it's all there. It's all there. The reason is women were like cows. Give me the woman, 3 cows, and the dowry, and she's good. Like, women had no options. And I keep telling you, you're living on a paradigm that ain't coming back. It's gone, man. Stop. Like, back in the 1950s, the 50s ain't coming back, bro. It's over.
Look, I'm sitting in my spot where my intersectionality puts me in the woman and black spot at the same time. So not only am I feeling that oppression from the whiter side, I'm feeling it from my men as well. But a lot of the men don't want to hear that. They say, just shut up and stay in the kitchen.
You know, it's not even the kitchen, though. It's a lot of double talk from a lot of men in the podcast sphere, especially. It's a lot of this, love me because I have money. And then, what? How dare you love me because I got money? What you bring it to the table? I'm like, bro, you can't have it both ways. What is it? Is she supposed to love you because you got the means to take care of her? And then, when she looked for somebody who got the means to take care of her, she's a gold digger. It can't be both, bro. What do you want? Be clear.
Can't a woman just want a man for everything, but then it all be held against her when she depends on him for everything?
That's my problem. That's a problem. It's like,
how dare we expect provision?
You just said you don't want your daughters to be independent. So when they depend on a man for everything, how's that wrong? It's too much double talk going on in my head. I'm just, when I look at it, I'm called a sucker
or sell out. But I'm like, guys, you know this makes no goddamn sense. Like, what do you want? I've told every woman in the relationship I'm with in my adult years that, look, this is you're open to leave. I want you here because you want to be here. Like, there is no hard feelings. If you find something better, you feel like this is not working for you. I honestly feel like every 7 to 10 years, you need to renegotiate your relationship in the year I lower 2024 on. Like, dead ass. I look back at some of the relationships I was in. And once again, I'm an imperfect messenger on this. I know a lot of relationships I was in, I was super toxic. Like, my ex-fiance, if she ever listens to this, I need to apologize to her. Because it was a lot of things I did to manipulate the situation, and I was kind of playing with her emotional coattails and pulling her strings and stuff like that. And when I didn't get my way, I was doing the, well, I was going to marry you. I wasn't.
Marcus, were you on some narcissist shit, nigga?
Like, I was. Yes. Okay, no. I wouldn't even say it was narcissist. It was a fear of being alone. And I think a lot of guys don't want to admit that.
Yeah. But these podcaster dudes be talking about how women are going to be out here dying with our cats and dogs and other animals. And we are saying we'd prefer that. Like, that's not an insult.
That's the thing. It's like, yeah. Yeah. It's a choice. Women are choosing to be with their dogs and cats than your ashy ass. And that's the problem. Like, if you want a relationship now, you're going to have to meet in the middle. And it always should have been like that. But once you've been in power so damn long, you've had all this privilege. Yes, guys, privileges exist. Once you have all these privileges, when somebody tries to level it up to you, it seems like somebody's taking away from you. It seems like somebody's attacking you. But it's not you. It's the structures being attacked. And that's my whole argument with systemic racism. It's like, dude, like, it's the system that needs to be broken down. Like, stop making it personal. Yes, you are a part of the system, but we as a whole need to change the system. Like, once again, personally, you can be a racist asshole. I'm cool with it. Like, that is your right to be a racist asshole. I'm going to champion your right to do that. But the system can't be racist. I need to be afforded the same opportunities that you have. That's my whole thing with the criminal justice system. I had this argument with somebody about, well, Morgan, you were talking about cops 2 years ago, and now you're talking about you pro cops in Memphis because crime. I'm like, bro, I've never been anti-cop. I've been anti-cop abuse. I don't want them kicking our ass. I don't want unfair sentencing. I feel like a white man to commit the same crime as a black man or a black boy should get the same sentence. How is that controversial? That's not contradictory, bro. It's like, if I see a little black boy, 16-year-old, with the same crime a 16-year-old white boy do, he gets 25 years and the white boy gets 3 years, am I not supposed to say something about it? Give the white boy 16 years, 20 years. Make it even. Like, I'm tired of all the breaks being given, and I'm supposed to look at it and be like, where am I going? Bro, stop. It's all, you know what? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get on this tangent, but the older I get, the more aggravated and frustrated I get, because I just see things now. Like, I'm not starry-eyed. I'm not optimistic anymore. I'm just chiseled and broken down. I'm just like, y'all notice some bullshit, but you keep trying to tell me it's not bullshit. and I'm the crazy one.
That's abuse. Like, that's how the system is set up, to keep gaslighting us and to thinking it's not happening, so that we can't progress forward because we can't all get on the same page at the same time. That seems to be our collective issue in general. And when I say our, I mean as Black people, you and I, our community, we have a lot of issues lining up and moving in the same direction, because we've also been taught that we can't give this nigga behind me all, but I also got to try and help him get up because, you know, I got to help. Like, we have a lot of conflicting stories in our community as well, that we can't even get together on our Tuesday meeting. Like, we can't seem to get through all that stuff, Marcus. Like, it's a lot.
How you doing, man? We start off high. How you doing? You okay?
Nah, I'm good. I mean, I just got off the phone with my mom, who is having revelations about how racist Michigan can be. And I'm just like, Mama, like,
that's America.
We've been around the sun so many times. And like, I hate that it hits her fresh, but like, I'm also sad that it's still a surprise to her. Like, she's approaching 60, and I'm not saying it's a mental issue or anything like that. It's just that I think even she thought this world would be progressing more than it has. And it's just like, It's the root of our country. It's broken from literally the root up. We can't even get the legislation to get us going, to get us going in the right direction, because we still want some people not to get what we have, or vice versa. Like, it's just, but I'm good. Like, I'm personally okay. I'm just, it's an election year. There's a lot coming up, Marcus, that is giving me a little bit of apprehension. So maybe we're starting out with that feeling.
I will give your mom some levity and some leeway, because I too think we are progressing, but progression isn't linear. It's like, we don't just progress because it's a father time or it's 30 years back. It's going to be dips. It's going to be backwards. We're at a backwards stage right now, because honestly, the majority knows they're not going to be in power in the next 30 years. However, that's also a problem for Black people, because we're not going to be the majority minority anymore in 30 years. So especially for us Black people, we've always been the lowest on the pecking order in America. Like, we've always been on the worst foot. It's easier for an immigrant from another country to come over to America and have more progression than if for a Black person born in America to have the progression. Yeah. And as we deal with that, we're going to have to realize that soon it's going to be Latinos, the majority in America, and then the next one is going to be whites. So what's going to happen when white people are actually the minority? It's going to be another reason just not to give us nothing. So I keep telling everybody, y'all better start fighting for reparations now, because it's hard to convince somebody who immigrated over here, whether they be from a African country or European country. It's hard to convince them that we're owed something. that in, for lack of better words, indigenous Black people are owed something. So I can tell everybody, man, we better get this thing popping now, though, because it's about to be ugly for us, too.
I mean, but we have candidates up here trying to act like slavery wasn't the reason the Civil War happened. Like, we have, like... I don't know if those conversations are going to be taking place in time.
Can I tell you something real quick? I know you're all over the place, but this is what happened. This is what happened when we talk, right? So, yesterday, matter of fact, my little brother, 10 years old, I helped him with his homework. I tried to be like present in his homework and help him, because I wish somebody did it for me when I was young. But
bless granted, you.
My father didn't have the wherewithal to really help me. Like, it was a crapshoot if he helped me. But so he's doing social studies, and he got the book, and I took the book from him because I had to read it. And he was looking at stuff, and there are the civil rights movement. I was like, yo, so what you learning about? He's like, yeah, I learned it about equality. When we got equality, I was like, equality for who? He's like, for Black people. Like, what? When? And he's like, it's in the book. And I had to take the book. And let me see, can I find this? Because
Oh shit.
One of the shocking, most jarring situations for me to read about. And this is in a fifth grade social studies book. Now, okay. I'm going to say this before I read this, that I don't expect the whole history of America to be taught to a fifth grader. I don't. I know this is a comprehensive take, but overall, there isn't much about any atrocities done to Black people. And let me see, can I find this real quick? I should have had this ready, but I didn't know we was going to go this direction.
Here we are.
Here it is.
I'm sure he's laughing. The diabolical laughter, Marcus. The foreboding energy.
The civil rights movement. After years of discrimination and segregation, the civil rights movement of the 20th century sought to remedy that by establishing equal rights and fair treatment of African Americans. Many average citizens and national leaders stepped up to help bring about this change.
Wow, many.
And I was like, wait, huh? I was like, wait, so equality was hit? We did it? And that's my problem. I was telling him, I'm like, well, there's no nuanced discussion of why was it like this? Who did it? Why was segregation a thing? Who made segregation a thing? And he got to think, he was like, yeah, you're right. Why was segregation even a thing?
I was like, you got to think, our father, who just passed away, he wasn't allowed really to talk. It was frowned upon if he talked to a white woman. And he was like, what? He's like, I can't imagine a world where I can't just talk to a white woman if I want to. And he's like, why? I'm like, exactly. That's the question. Why? It doesn't answer that. And that's what I told him. I'm like, look, man, all history is propaganda to a point. Like, it's to make you say, rah, rah, look at us, we're great. And there was is the problem. White folks don't want to feel sad. They don't want to feel bad, so they leave out stuff. Everything about Black people in this book that I'm looking at, the fifth grade social studies student book, it's positioned as white folks being benevolent and doing something for us. It was like, well, we decided to let these folks be free. And you know what? We got to thinking to ourselves, segregation is wrong. Let's say no more because we're awesome. I'm like, but why was it a thing in the beginning? Like, who suffered behind it? What was the economic ramifications of this segregation and you tearing down? My little brother didn't know about Black Wall Street. He didn't know about Rosewood. He didn't know about the Virginia slave plantations. He didn't know about the riots in Memphis. All this history right here and stuff that was done to break down the Black economic structure. He didn't know any of that. And none of it's in the book. So, yeah. I don't know. I find it weird. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm rambling. I'm going to let you talk.
No. It's just a lot of it is curriculum based and hoping that they can just kind of give a blanket statement about the history of Blackness in America and civil rights and all those extensions. There's no way to summarize it really for children. And I think a lot of schools are hoping that parents will supplement those talks at school with discussions at home. But more often than not, the kids just get the racist rhetoric of their parents and then come to school and then get this little general, oh, we had this little blop in history, but don't worry, it's behind us now. And it's like, no, because I have to answer too many questions, or I've had to answer too many questions from Latino students that I was teaching last year about certain things that they were like, I don't know who else to ask about this, but I'm the only Black educator they've met or have. So they're like, can I ask you? And deciding if I feel like I have the capacity to answer their questions, because I'm like, here we go again, making me the person who is answering for all of us. And that is not my job. So It's so much that I'm hoping that parents who want to see change in America or want to actually push towards post-racialism to actually talk to their children about it. But more often than not, they're just like, no, just don't talk about race. We don't see race. And here we go, moving into an election year where a lot of things are going to pop up based on where we're all standing on this weird map of patriarchy and capitalism. So I'm just not eager, Marcus.
Well, that's the thing, though. I think a post-racial society is impossible. I was just listening to Bill Maher, who I should stop listening to, who I do think is an ally, although an imperfect ally, much like I am an imperfect ally with women and stuff like that. So, I mean, look, I do consider him an ally. Let me just say that. But he was having a conversation with some guy, I think Mr. Hughes, who was talking about a post-racial society, how we all should be colorblind. I'm like, dude, stop. It's impossible for us to be colorblind because color makes a difference. What you need to do is try to make laws and standards to try to mitigate that problem because we have human biases. Like, there's no way that I can look at a white person and be like, and I don't look at you as white. No, God damn it, you're white. Come on. Do I not have eyes? Am I not like, it's no, Marcus, it just shouldn't matter. Look, it shouldn't matter in the sense I can talk to you, but I do have to understand that because my best friend is white, he gets a higher credit rate. The police don't stop him. That's a lived reality. I can't pretend like it don't happen because once again, if I don't and it hits me, what's the excuse then? So I don't know. I don't think we can be post-racial. I think we're going to have to accept that, look, bro, we got our blind spots and flaws.
See, Marcus, in the cases of us, though, as Black and brown folk, we cannot be post-racial because the people who put it in place for us to even notice race in the first place are the ones who get triggered when we're the ones saying, hey, stop doing this thing to us because of our race.
Yep.
Why are you bringing up race? It's like, you did it first. Like, and again, that's where I come back to the abusive gaslighting kind of nature of our country. Like, at its root, since its dawn, they subjugated groups of people, cleared out groups of people to make room for their sick asses. And then we had to fight over whether we could even be free. And I say we because, you know, my history, as mixed up as it is, as a Black woman, like, we was in those fields. I have to say we, because I'm not that far removed from it. My mom was in those fields picking cucumbers. Like, don't talk to me like this was long ago.
My mom was born on a plantation. My mom. Last child born on a plantation. This ain't that far away, guys. It, that is the weird thing to me, man. As we get into Black History Month, which I hate. I think I've we've talked about this before. I truly hate Black History Month. But as we get into Black History Month, I see it being used and positioned as a gift to Black people. And that's why I hate it. It's like, well, y'all got Black History Month. Well, guess when White History Month is? Every goddamn day in America. So it's like, I get the need for a Black History Month. I got why they said that. But it becomes a passive way to just be dismissive and separate ourselves. Because one thing I always say, white folks got to embrace Black history for it to mean anything. White folks got to actively start studying, being like, look, man, oh, man, this is what happened. Oh, Black Wall Street was bombed. Until white folks actually take it serious, it doesn't matter. Like, I can tell you all the great accomplishments that Black people did in America. I can tell you that. It don't mean shit, because I know there's no power dynamic. There's nothing my Black ass can do to take anything away from white people. Everything Black folks have done, even in this little history book I see, it's always been from a position of begging. Even the power moves we did and the civil rights of boycotting, it was a begging move. It was like, hey, guys, it was all shame. Hey, guys, why are you doing this to us? You said you're Christians. Don't do that. Hey, guys, can we have equal rights? Oh, no, we can't have equal rights. Well, can we have civility? Can you stop putting the water hose on my ass? Can you say, how about the dogs? Can you take the dogs off of me? Okay, if I can't get equality, can I get civility? We didn't get equal rights. We got civil rights. Civility. The bottom line. Baseline. Like, can you treat me like a person? That was literally, if you go back to the conception of the Constitution of the United States, women and Black folks weren't people. We weren't. We're trying to rectify that now. So I look at this, I'm just like, gaslighting is the right word. Because I see it all, and I see these things, and I see these words pop up, like reverse racism. Like, what? All lives matter. What?
There's always a counter. Always.
You're one of the good ones. What? It's just all these little passive aggression things just piss you off. Just like, what? What do you mean? Oh, yeah, being too sensitive.
I'm sorry, Marcus. This is the reality that we walk through.
So I don't even know where I was going with any of this. I swear I had a...
get it off your chest. Obviously, you need to vent. I'm listening. I'm here. Random.
I swear, I had a whole show planned out. I was going to ask you about the election, Nikki Haley. I had none of this planned.
No. Let us have our ADHD moment, Marcus. We are grown ass adults who organize our lives on a daily basis, and it's really okay to have this.
I mean, it seems like the weird thing is when you talk about this, people try to pretend like if you're, I ain't gonna say pro-Black, if you just call out stuff like it is, people get defensive and be like, well, why? Like you said, why are you talking about race? Like, when everything is racial, though. Like, everything in a racial wheel is based on race. We're trying to fix it, and it hasn't been fixed yet. So when people ask me, I was having this conversation with my friend Cameron about this, and we was talking about reparations. And after I made the argument, he's like, okay. Because it was like he was getting hung up on cash payments. Like, why should we give cash
the black people. And to be honest, I really do think if you did cash payments to black people, that would be okay. Because if I had $10,000 right now and I can invest it in an ETF for my son, 30 years from now, if I just put it in the ETF, my son would have over like $50,000 already, just off me just sitting in the ETF and the stock market going up. That was something that black people was left out of. So all that money, unpaid wages, yes, I feel like if you want to bridge the gap, you should be able to give black folks money, cash payments. But I positioned to him like, okay, so you're getting hung up on cash. How about we give black folks everything they was denied? Like, we know black folks wasn't allowed to have education. So how about we just give black folks free education? We know black folks were denied loans. How about we give black folks loans in ways of reparation? Like, look, man, every black person, look, we did redlining. We saw it. It was messed up. Now you get 2% interest loans. You know? He was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And that's the thing, though. And I had to tell him, like, it's not about your grandfather. It's not about, like, white people. It's about the U.S. government. It's holding the government accountable. Because when I read through this whole social studies book, it's like, yeah, the government did this, we did that. Then the government got to be held accountable for the bad things, too, to bridge the gap. Has to be. So, I don't know, it's a weird thing to me. I look at this, and I'm like, yo, something's going to have to happen. Systemic shit was done to keep black folks down. So something systemic is going to have to be done to help black people. Like, I keep hearing rumors and just innuendo and dumb shit about, well, black folks need to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. We tried. And when we did, you burned it down. You tore it down. You came there. You bombed it. You know, there's been many of black industries and commerce that were just muscled out.
Yeah.
Wasn't allowed. And it's like now it wasn't allowed. You're using that as a counterpoint to CC. This is what black folks can't get nowhere. This was by design. You designed a system this way. So if you can look at it and you can point to all the problems, why not design something to help us without everybody being like, see, now they're taking something from you. What? No, we just want the shit that was taken from us. I don't get it. And then somebody going to hear this right now and be like, well, Marcus, nothing happened to you. Well, that's the point. Had my grandfather had a fair shake, he could have been on better footing to leave me some more shit and I would have been better off. Dumbasses. I don't know.
Look, Marcus, just stop being poor. Just stop it. Just stop being poor. Stop it.
I mean, that's what it is, man. And that's another gaslighting word to use. I had to work for everything. I never said you didn't have to work. Like, oh, it's like, dude, who said you're not working hard, white person? Who said that everything was given to you? Nobody said that shit. That's not even the argument. Here was some shit that was done to keep a group of people down. Here's some shit we can do to fix it. Shouldn't we fix it?
I mean, as you like say it like that, though, that tells me like how real the erasure of our stories really is, because they think as soon as we start speaking up, we're erasing that they've also struggled. Like, we're not erasing their struggle by speaking up more about ours. We've been trying to use speakerphones about what's going on, and you guys don't hear us until something's about to happen to you.
Yep.
Y'all need to start hearing the call faster instead of saying, oh, those black people are just complaining about so-and-so and things again. And it's just like, okay, well, we're going to stop calling and trying to help you and let you get hit by this truck, motherfucker. Bye. Like, I don't know what else you want us to do, but that's also this next election, right? Like, I'm not ready for the circus and the freak show that's about to come through about women's rights and all these things that are just falling apart.
Things that should have been settled, by the way.
Yeah.
And to think in the year our Lord, 2024, that we actually have to go over this again, stuff that we should have had figured out in the 50s, it's kind of depressing. It's sad. Like, as a person, not as a man and as a woman, but as a person, to look at this, because it's this whole romanticizing of the before four times that I say once again ain't coming back. It's like you guys really are struggling for power. And I say men in particular, we really are struggling to try to keep some kind of semblance of power. I think Nikki Haley, whereas a flawed candidate, is way more competent than Trump. Way more. There is no comparison. She's better. Honestly, I think she's better than Biden too. She's better than all of them. You got a competent woman up here. Flaw, but competent woman. And everybody's just like, nope, can't do it. Why? Woman, you know, they get so emotional. They're going to blow up the world.
I mean, I'm not agreeing with that comment about what women would do. It's just that I personally don't think America's moving into their first female president era. I don't think that is happening yet.
I think we can.
I didn't say we couldn't. I'm saying that I don't think America is going. Because for me, at least, as the pendulum has swung from Obama to Trump, and now a backstep to Biden in a way, I don't feel like a woman president is what America is really ready to deal with right now. I could be wrong, but I'm also... I just don't think it's there.
I think so. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
Because you just said it. America right now is in the era of major swings. Like Obama. We only got Obama because things got so fucked up to the point that it was like, we'll let the black man have it. Seriously. Like, if y'all guys recall, what happened was there was a whole housing collapse. The whole government was falling apart. Bush had ran it down to the ground, guys. It was a recession. It was bad to the point that it was like, oh, man, hope it changed. Shit, we rolled the dice on that. Fuck it. He can't do anything worse. And Obama got it. Now, Obama was a major swing. When Obama started doing decent and good, he had his flaws, but he did great. Wife was like, uh-oh. Uh-oh. We have made a terrible mistake, guys. They getting a little bit too uppity. And that's how you got a Trump. A guy who ran on bufferism. You getting mad, guys? I'm sorry, this is the history. Dude ran on racism and won. Dude's like, yo, that guy from Kenya. Y'all don't want no Kenyan in the White House, don't you? And the collective white people, and I say white people because you look at the data, y'all voted as a block. Not all white people, but y'all voted as a block. And I'm like, hell no, we don't want that black guy. So you got Trump. Now, here's the thing. Trump fucked up so bad to the point you let a guy who was like 90-something years old who been running for president for the last 50 years win. And I will say, I wasn't a Biden supporter. Did I vote for him? Yes, because I had two choices. But I wasn't a Biden supporter. I wanted Elizabeth Warren. That she had a plan for everything, I'll stick by that. She was the better choice, in my opinion. However, we saw we had fucked up and elected Trump. We didn't elect Clinton, and then we elected Biden. Now, we're at a major swing now. You got two dinosaurs, two old-ass dudes who are saying we not crazy shit. Like, both of these guys be saying some dumb shit. They be letting it fly. I be like, the fuck? Like, both of you guys should be in a nursing home. I say endearingly. Like, both of you guys, like, you need to be gone. I'm like, I don't know what we arguing about. Both of you guys are just mentally like, not there.
Like, we should be talking about applesauce or pudding. Like, what are we on right now?
Big facts. Hey, Papa. You want this butterscotch pudding? That's what we should be on. And I think that's going to line up to get a Nikki Haley. Because all she got to do is stay in. Like, I truly believe Trump ain't going to last. Yeah, 96 indictments, bro. Something going to hit this dude. And I know he's skirting a lot of stuff now. But it only takes one. It only takes one to get this guy out the paint.
Why has it been so many and one hasn't stuck yet, Marcus? Like, that's the part where I'm like, what are we doing here? Like,
us privilege. It's wealth. Wealth and race plays a lot of part. Like, here's the thing. I don't expect the president to be treated the same as me. There's only been, like, what, 46 of those bastards? So, look, you're special by virtue of being the president. And you do got to make sure everything is lined up. But it's too many things now. You got... Say what you want. I do believe those two rape cases, well, not the rape case he got convicted for, makes a difference. Because he has to pay $83 million. That makes a difference. So that's going to shut dude up. It seems like Colorado going to have to keep him on the ballot, which is okay. I was always kind of iffy on that anyway. So one of those are going to stick. And if you keep on bleeding this man to death, I eventually believe he's going to move out anyway. He's going to strike a deal and be like, look, guys, if you just, like, get this blah y'all off me, I'll go away, go to Russia, sell some American secrets, and call it a day. I think that's what's going to happen. I really do. Eventually, the well's gonna run dry because dude is kind of a loser. He ain't been winning. Like, seriously, none of his candidates been winning. People are supporting dude as a pitch of defiance, but it's gonna come to a point where reality is gonna kick in. Right now, the economy is doing pretty good if you are a millionaire. Mm. Inflation is gonna come down. They're gonna do a rate cut in March. Once the interest rates come down from 6 to 4, you're gonna start getting people happy. And then the pivot is gonna be made to, why do we have these two old motherfuckers here? And I truly believe if the Democrats don't get Gavin Newsom in, that's gonna make a lane right for Nikki Haley. All she gotta do is just wait. I believe. I could be totally wrong on this. All she gotta do is wait like a mongoose in the grass and strike.
I'm gonna need her to answer her questions a little bit more honestly and then start going by her actual name.
Nah, you trying to get her to lose, ain't you?
it's just weird watching a woman. Okay, I'm going to use the term woman of color, although I keep having a lot of people try and tell me that that term is only for Black people. And I'm like, of color. Yeah, of color is anyone who is not white. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know why I have to clarify this. But anyway, in her case, like, it's not even about trying to make her lose in that sense. It's just her name is whitewashed. Like, she is a walking testament to how not accepting this country still is. Like, she is a testament also to assimilation in a way. But like, y'all always make it clear that y'all need us to be in proximity to you, but we're still never going to be you. Like, that equality is not there. She can't even step up there with her actual name. Like, that hurts. Like, that, I'm like, that's, but I mean, she want to go up there and try and do this thing. I just need her to be like, hey, if you ask me a question about slavery, let me not be dodgy and weird about it. Let me just be true. But
that was her problem. She tried to be too cutesy with the answer, right? And that's the problem. She didn't want to offend white folks. That was the answer. She didn't want to offend white folks. So she was like, oh, I'm going to say states' rights. But the pivot was so easy. All she had to say was, yes, it's about state rights to own people. That's all you had to do. Because the thing is, she didn't know which direction that white man was going. She was like, I'm going to make you happy. Oh, then when he flipped it and hit her with a black owl, he was like, she's like, damn it. She was supposed to go the other way. Which was, look, man, that was not a gotcha moment. All that she had to say was, of course, it's about slavery. Yeah. Anyway.
And it would have been just a lot more impactful too if she had owned that truth as a woman of color. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the times, again, as model minorities, there's a lot of, I still have to keep this proximity to white supremacy by trying not to acknowledge what was done to the Black people who are at the bottom, who are still technically under her feet, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. And I'm just like, it's just hard to watch, Marcus. Like, and it is seeing too much sometimes. Like, I don't have hope for this country. I'm low-key hoping for the downfall of the government so we can just build it anew. But that'll take some firepower and violence, I think. And I might have to flee if it comes to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, let me tell you something, buddy. Ain't no guarantee we rebuild this, Judge. It's gonna be rebuilt. Tell you something, buddy. You say you hope. Other days, ain't no guarantees. We rebuild this thing. They're gonna be like, oh, and now's our chance to get them all out.
Yeah.